On January 12, 2010, an earthquake measuring 7.0 on the Richter scale hit the already impoverished island nation of Haiti. Since that time, the need for relief assistance by the Haitian people has been overwhelming. We're joined today by Eve Engler from the Canadian Haiti Action Network. Not necessarily all of that required aid is getting through to the people who need it the most. Eve, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the situation in Haiti is right now, hoping that some of the aid that is needed by the Haitian people will get through?
Yeah, well, I think that the situation on the ground is obviously very difficult and horrible, really, in terms of a massive humanitarian tragedy that may have killed as many as 200,000 people. And even now, 9 or 10 days after the earthquake, there has been very little in terms of medical services, health services to the victims of the earthquake. Many people with injured broken legs and all kinds of different injuries that have yet to get proper health services. And that's partly because the U.S. military has taken over, took control of the Toussaint-L'Ouverture airport in Port-au-Prince, and then 2 days later, they got the Haitian government okay. They're taking over the airport, but it really was a unilateral American move to take over the airport. And they've been prioritizing military flights over humanitarian flights or health or medical supplies. So, for instance, two different planes of Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, were blocked from landing at the Port-au-Prince airport and were forced to reroute to Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic and then take a 6 or 7 hour bus ride from the Dominican Republic into Haiti.
So you're telling me that some of the aid for the Haitian people was not allowed to reach the Haitian people because the priority at the airport was for U.S. military planes and transportation.
Yeah, quite explicitly, to the point where the French minister even complained that Americans were occupying Haiti. Even though the French and Americans and the Canadians were the ones responsible for overthrowing Haiti's elected government 6 years ago, and they had worked together on that front, the French government was sort of pissed off that the Americans were kind of prioritizing their own military and Canadian military over some French flights. So this militarization of aid has massively slowed down the relief effort. First of all, the search and rescue effort, and even more important, the health services that are so needed. And concurrent with this militarization of aid is a real exaggeration of the so-called looting and violence and insecurity. The way they justify the 12,000 American Marines that have been sent to Haiti and the more than 2,000 Canadian troops is by saying there's so much insecurity, so much violence, and we need to have troops there to help bring out the aid.
Well, let's get into that. How is that going to help in the fooding and the clothing and the rebuilding of houses for the Haitian people?
Yeah, well, for instance, the Canadian government has sent much of the 2,000 troops have already been sent, Canadian troops, and yet there are Canadian disaster relief teams that were ready to go in Toronto, Calgary, and other cities across the country that were explicitly told to stand down, that they were not needed, and that we had to get the troops in first. So this is a catastrophe. Any people who were alive in under the rubble who could have been helped by search and rescue teams were deprioritized, and the priority is put on getting military control over the country. And so you have a situation now, what a completely absurd and ridiculous situation where there are huge numbers of Canadian troops in Jacmel. Well, that's one of the cities that Canada has sort of taken charge of. Canadian troops have taken charge of. Jacmel is a small seaside city of 50,000 or so, exceedingly among the more sort of peaceful type cities anywhere in the world. And the notion that what's necessary in Jacmel today is a bunch of Canadian troops running around with guns is completely ridiculous. And the front page, even the front page of the Globe and Mail yesterday had 2 days ago showed a picture of Canadian troops with guns hanging over and in the ready, like in their hands, walking along this rubble, and a couple of people, Haitians and Jacmel looking at them like, what in the world's going on here? That people need water, people need food, people need, obviously long-term reconstruction. People don't need, Haitians don't need, white Canadians and white Americans with guns pointing at them.
Does this bring up the possibility that some of the levels of looting and maybe even the earthquake itself to a certain extent is being exaggerated? I will just read to you a quote by Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez. quote, the United States is using the earthquake in Haiti as a pretext to occupy the devastated country, and Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega said that, quote, the United States has taken advantage of the massive quake in Haiti to deploy troops to the country. Is that what's going on here?
Without a doubt. There's no doubt that they've taken advantage of the situation to extend their influence and control over the country. And, you know, the history, people who know a little bit of history of American particular intervention in Haiti, is that that's obviously for self-serving interest. U.S. involvement has been to undermine Haitian capacity to make the place more dependent on Washington. So it's really scary to see that this is taking place. It's a really disturbing comment on the state of decision makers in Washington and Ottawa, and that they use such a horrible human catastrophe to advance their own interests in the region and not the compassion. You know, because at the end of the day, I think most Canadians, when they see what's happened, this horrible human tragedy, have a lot of solidarity and compassion for Haitians. And, you know, the amazing amounts of generosity that Canadians and Americans have shown, I think most of those people, when they're giving their money, they're hoping that it's going to lead to a betterment of the situation or the plight of most Haitians. But instead, I think all too often, or what we're seeing playing out right now, is that Canadian and American officials actually, you know, use that solidarity to, one, to justify, for instance, the Canadian military budget. So one of the reasons why I think Canada sent these troops is that, you know, the war in Afghanistan is unpopular. And so the military wants what seems like a do-good, a really popular type mission to have troops sent on. So I think that the real solidarity that many Canadians and Quebecers are feeling towards Haiti right now is being sort of in a very kind of sinister way being used to advance an elite agenda.
The Canadian Haiti Action Network, of which you are a part, set out a press release on the 19th of January, and one of the quotes in the press release was that earthquake victims need food, water, medical treatment, and shelter, not more guns pointed at them.
For certain, as I mentioned earlier, the Médecins Sans Frontières flights that were blocked. But additionally, you know, there was many reports coming. Things had gotten a little bit better over the last day or two, but many reports going a week after the earthquake, a kilometer or two from the airport, people still were without basics, still without food, very minimal amounts of water. The health clinics that were set up had no supplies whatsoever. The Haitian doctors were doing the best they could, but there was no outside support in terms of different medical products. And that's Partners Without Health, Zanmi La Santé, a well-known, one of the best of the non-governmental organizations that really tries to work with the Haitian health ministry and tries to build, you know, Haitian health capacity and to have Haitians lead the organization. They've sent out a report saying that if proper medical supplies don't start getting into the country, we're talking as many as 20,000 people dying a day.
Wow.
So, you know, maybe that's an exaggeration, but nevertheless, we're talking about a serious situation where there's people lying there who have health problems, but they're not getting any care. And so, you know, somebody with a broken leg who doesn't get their wounds properly disinfected, next thing you know, have gangrene. Next thing you know, the person's dead. And that's taking place. And that's taking place because there has been a prioritization over military rather than humanitarian. Concurrent with that, what search and rescue has gotten into the country really focused on where internationals were. So, for instance, the Hotel Montana, frequented by foreigners, one of the wealthier hotels in the country, the wealthiest or the most prominent international hotel in the country, the UN compound. That's where all the initial search and rescue went. They didn't go into the poor neighborhoods. And there's been a number of reports we've gotten of people on the ground seeing that these search and rescue teams were in one case at the USAID offices. They had done the USAID offices, and then there was, you know, tons of buildings and houses around that were totally destroyed, and they just sat around. Once they'd searched at the US building, then it was, you know, they weren't interested in going into the poor neighborhoods. And then that's all tied into this demonization of poor Haitians, of these crazy, scary black Haitians that we have constantly going on in our media. And that's how that's sort of justified, that the lack of attention, the lack of search and rescue, and the militarization is sort of justified by these you know, claims of violence and criminality and et cetera.
Let me ask you this. 6 years ago, it was Canadian soldiers on the ground and Canadian, quote-unquote, NGOs behind the scenes that led to a regime change in Haiti itself. The result of that regime change was the current administration within Haiti that has obviously failed to deal with this natural disaster over the past week. Let me just ask you speculatively, had President Aristide and the original Haitian regime that had been elected into power remained, would they have been better able to deal with what has been going on in Haiti?
Almost certainly. I think, but you can't just start it at 2004 with the 2004 coup. You have to go back in history with the 2004 coup is just one more weakening of Haitian governmental institutional capacity.
Would Aristide's regime have been more focused to deal with this crisis than what we're seeing right now?
There's no doubt in my mind that if Canada and U.S., France wouldn't have overthrown the government, there would have been the small attempts at building Haitian institutional capacity that were being done by that government would have, you know, been a little bit further along. In fact, what happened with the February 2004 coup was that there was a total destruction of those small steps. Everything from police stations to the transport system that the Aristide government had put together, to actually a disaster warning team that actually it was designed for hurricanes, a hurricane warning system that was destroyed in the aftermath of the February 2000 coup and actually played a big role in the reason why the tropical storm of September 2004 killed so many people in Gonaïves. But there's no doubt that each time Canada, the U.S., and other imperial powers in Haiti have undermined Haitian governmental institutional capacity, that has made that society less and less capable of preventing natural disasters. And then when I say preventing, I obviously can't stop an earthquake, but you can have building codes that are, in building inspections that would make the houses less likely to collapse. You can also have, the fact there's so many people living in Port-au-Prince, the city is way overcrowded, but that's intimately tied to the policies of undermining Haitian agriculture. So the International Monetary Fund, the U.S. government, Canadian government, for the past couple decades have pushed for a reduction of tariffs on things like rice, and that has led to a real exodus from the countryside in Haiti, and those people going into Port-au-Prince because there's no agricultural sector left in the countryside, so they move into Port-au-Prince. They live in very precarious buildings, housing up the hills in towards Pétionville and Port-au-Prince, and those people knew they were living in a really precarious position, but they had no choice. They were so poor they had no other option. There's a question of prevention that could have happened, and I think everything from the building codes to the fact that the city was overcrowded, but additionally, there should have been, where's Haitian search and rescue? The fact that Canada, U.S. for decades now have undermined Haitian governmental capacity is part of the explanation why the government doesn't have a proper search and rescue. And so I think there's no doubt this was clearly a natural and a devastating natural disaster, but it was also a social and political disaster that has a lot of roots in Washington, and to a lesser extent in Ottawa.
We've heard a scathing indictment of the relief efforts as they're going on right now, especially in terms of the priorities that those relief efforts are targeted towards addressing. Are there any relief agencies out there that people listening right now can donate to, doing good, honest work in Haiti for the Haitian people and not their own self-interest?
Yeah, I think even a lot of the NGOs that I have a problem with their political positions, I think even they're probably doing some good stuff on the ground today, considering how bad the situation is. Now, I think the Canada Haiti Action Network has put a list of groups that we're asking people to donate to. In my opinion, the best ones of those are Partners in Health, Zanmi La Santé. Also, there's the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund based in San Francisco. People can get more information on that on the CanadaHaitiAction.ca. So CanadaHaitiAction.ca, that's the website of the Canada Haiti Action Network. And I do a call on people to give generously, because the situation is horrible. The suffering is kind of beyond comprehension, and it's I can't imagine a country that's deserves it less than Haiti.
Yves Engler, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thanks for having me.